We're now going to have our Bible readings. We're reading from Luke 2, verses 1 to 20, and we have a number of people who'll be reading for us. Oh, it's been handballed.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David.
He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
As we're celebrating the birth of a baby today, I'd like to invite David, Amy, and baby Lydia up to join us. I'd like to compare their experience with that of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. So this is the latest baby to our community. So let's welcome them. She's looking beautiful. So David and Amy, just a couple of housekeeping things. We have a live audience this morning over here. Cameras are at the back, so if you can just look up the back occasionally. And I'll ask you some questions, and if you could just answer it into the microphone for the viewers listening at home. That okay?
All good.
So are we ready, Simon? Okay, Simon says we're ready. So welcome to Adelaide West Current Affairs this morning. Today I'm speaking with David and with Amy, who've brought baby Lydia. And thank you for joining us. We really appreciate this, especially on such a busy morning as well.
You're welcome.
So first of all, David, I thought perhaps I'd start with you. Were you concerned when Amy became pregnant?
No, I was very excited.
Excited, okay. Joseph was concerned. Right. Now, any angels speak to you?
No, none that I can recall.
No angels, right. Amy, at the end of Mary's pregnancy, she took this really long journey of about 130 kilometres. Did you take any long journeys at the end of your pregnancy?
Well, 5 days before my due date, we did travel to watch the grand final at David's parents' house.
Right. And how far would that have been?
Oh, about 20 k's.
20 kilometres, right. And did you travel by foot or on a donkey?
No, that would have been by car.
By car, right. So we had 20 kilometres, maybe a long journey, and travelled by car, and Mary was on foot or a donkey. Now, this is a bit of a personal question, but I just want to ask it anyway. Are you two married?
Yes, we are.
Okay, married. That's interesting. Joseph and Mary weren't. It's a bit difficult to explain. Amy, is this your first child or do you have other children?
Lydia is my second.
Your second. Okay, so Mary's first, but your second. And tell me, David, where was Lydia born?
In a hospital.
In a hospital. Right.
Yes.
Okay, whereas we think Jesus was born under a house. So you're a hospital. Now, I presume that would be clean and sterilised.
I could smell the pino clean.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. And Amy, when you put Lydia to sleep, where did she sleep?
In a baby crib.
In a baby crib. Any hay?
No.
No hay. And that would have been clean and sterilised.
Yes.
Right, okay. Right. Any shepherds or farmers visit you during the night?
No, only the midwives, thankfully.
Oh, okay, right, so no shepherds and farmers. Jesus appeared to have shepherds. Any star?
Not that I can remember.
No star, okay. Now, tell me a little bit about how Lydia would spend her day.
Well, she sleeps and then she'll cry, and so I'll change her nappy and give her a feed, and then maybe we'll have a little chat if she's still awake and a cuddle.
Okay. So if we were to summarise that, would that be basically she sleeps, feeds, poops and cries?
That about sums it up.
About sums it up. Okay. And now this isn't your first, so would you say this was normal for a baby?
Yeah, that would be pretty normal.
Pretty normal. So probably baby Jesus did the same.
I would think so.
Which is interesting because we sing this song that says, "No crying he makes." Never quite understood that line. Sorry. Okay, well, thank you for joining us at Adelaide West Current Affairs today. We've appreciated hearing your story of your baby, and it helps us to understand the story of Jesus as well. So we just want to thank you for helping us to understand, and we have a bit of a comparison between baby Jesus and baby Lydia, but it helps us to understand a little bit more about what it's like to have a baby in the house. So ladies and gentlemen, could you please thank Amy and David. And we're now going to sing "Away in a Manger," and perhaps we'll smile when it gets to "No crying he makes." Sometimes there are world events that we hear about and we remember where we were when we heard about them. Where were you when there was a royal wedding? When you heard the news of the Berlin Wall falling? When you heard about 9/11? For some of us, when man first walked on the moon. You know, in the first century, there is news entering our story. But only a handful of people in an obscure country town. There are no reporters on hand. There's no social media announcement. There's no baby announcement on Facebook. Friends of ours last week had two big Vegemite jars and two smaller Vegemite jars, and then a tiny, tiny little Vegemite jar. They were happy little Vegemites because they were pregnant again. So there's no social media announcement. But God had some reporters. And we see it covered in this story by Luke that we've heard this morning. Luke was a physician, a doctor, and quite a historian. He wrote for a Greek audience, and so thinking, discerning, understanding was really important to him. The census was taken every 14 years, predominantly for taxation purposes. And unlike our online version, one had to turn up in person. It may not have crashed like ours did. Now, Joseph was required to go back to his ancestral home. And hence, Mary and Joseph travelled about 130 kilometres from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That's from here to Clare. Heavily pregnant, either on foot or on a donkey. And the baby was born, possibly on the ground floor of a Palestinian home, where the animals were kept, although Luke doesn't mention any animals. There was no room in the guest room, is what we hear. Or it could have been in the common courtyard. Wherever it was hardly the birthplace for a royal baby. What is Mary's response to all of these happenings on this day? In the previous chapter, we see Mary's response to the news of the impending arrival of baby Jesus. An angel appears to Mary, informs her that she'll have a baby. Not just any baby, but the Son of God. This baby is to be born to Mary, not a queen or a princess, but a young teenage girl in an insignificant town in a backyard place. She's going to be pregnant out of wedlock. It's not something we would want for our daughter or our niece or our sister or our cousin. But this is God's story, and Mary is chosen by God. She's found favour with God. She was willing and ready to be obedient, and Mary discovered hope. She knew the long-awaited Saviour was coming, and with the arrival of this Saviour, nothing will stay the same. In the story that we've just heard, the shepherds hear from an angel whilst on night shift. They go to find this baby that the angel has talked about, and they find all just as the angel had said. A baby in a manger in a feed trough. Luke records the wonder with which everyone received the news of why they'd come. All who heard it were amazed, just as the shepherds had said. Afterwards, the shepherds go back to work. They don't change their vocation. They don't leave their shepherding and go into the ministry or start a speaking tour. They go back, but they're changed. They're changed forever. They know hope. Their story is now interwoven with God's story. What impact does the story of Christ's birth have on us this Christmas? The people that heard what the shepherds said were amazed. Now, I hesitate to bring biblical Greek into a Christmas message, but just bear with me a moment. The word amazed in Greek is in the aorist tense. It's a one-off amazement, and then it's finished. For many, the message of Christmas is a bit like this. We have that nostalgic moment when we go to carols or to Christmas services or have a meal with family and friends at this time. And then the impact of the story is gone the next day. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word ponder in Greek is a present active participle, whatever that means. You've always wondered about that, haven't you? What it means is it's a sense of not just a one-off pondering, but something that continues on in her life. That's what it means. In fact, Mary does exactly the same thing with the same words in the next chapter. Mary ponders these things. She weighs them. She keeps them. She remembers them. She weighs them in her mind. And she pondered them in her heart. And by the meaning of that, also in her thinking, in her heart and in her mind. This story is a story of hope that connects with our story. This story is written into the larger story of what God has ultimately done and what God is ultimately doing in Christ. Jesus came as God incarnate, God with flesh on, as a baby, born to Mary, a teenage girl. I like to say out the back of a pub, sleeping in a feed trough, became a refugee as he fled from his parents, from a jealous king. He challenged the institutionalized religion of the day and challenged people in their preconceptions and their faith. Eventually, he was betrayed by a friend. He had an unjust trial and was executed like a criminal, naked, wounded and bleeding, to take my place and your place, to reconcile us with God and us with each other. And now we are totally and utterly forgiven by God for our pride, our ambitions, our thoughts, even our judgment of others. This is amazing grace. This is incredible hope. And this story impacts us today and every day. What we're talking about today is a little part of a huge story. The story of hope, born on Christmas Day. Hope renews us every day. May the good news that we hear this Christmas of the birth of Jesus, the birth of hope, give us hope and impact us in our coming week and every day of the coming year. May we treasure up this story and our hearts keep pondering the wonder of the incarnation as hope is born today and hope renews us every day. Let's pray together. Loving God, we give you thanks for this day, a day to celebrate Christ's birth. Hope born through Jesus in our lives. Father, Creator God, we are mindful of those things that we think, say, and do that are not of you, that separate us from you or from each other. We are sorry. Sorry for our pride, our judgment of others, our greed. Thank you that our sins are forgiven through Jesus' death on the cross in our place. Lord Jesus Christ, you are our hope. Come to us. Fill our hearts with joy in knowing this deeper truth that life contains. Because you come, all will be well. There is hope for us. Holy Spirit, help us to ponder the good news of the birth of Jesus in our everyday lives. Renew us with hope, we pray. Amen.